Vamos Amigos! What up, everybody? It's your boy Duke. Special edition of the Talking Soccer Podcast, episode 41. 41 straight weeks of superb content coming from your boy. And I got a special guest on today's podcast. This is a Monday version, Champions League version of the podcast. And before we get to that, as always, I am your host, Duke. You can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS. My DFS content's over at ElitePhantasy.com. Betting information over at EliteSportsBetting.com there as well. We got everything. MMA, soccer, NHL, NBA, college football, bowl season coming up. A lot of good stuff over there. So if you're not part of that package yet, get over to EliteSportsBetting.com. So I teased it on Twitter. We had some hilarious responses. I have a special guest on the podcast today. It's not going to be just me. A couple guesses that we had. Booger McFarland. He is in the Twitter profile of our guest, but it's not Booger. Stu Holden, Jose Mourinho. People thinking very highly of the podcast here and our ability to draw guests. But no, it's not him. It's the hothead weasel. It's the keyboard warrior. It's the author of the unwritten rules of season-long fantasy football, how to show proper etiquette in the Twitter age. He's none other than Draft Cheat.
Duke, yes. Long time coming with this pod. I've been a loyal listener, loyal reader, loyal follower of your DFS plays and your bets. Man, you've been on fire for the most part with these soccer bets, and happy to join you. I will be the I have to admit, my soccer knowledge at the moment is not up to par with yours. I've been kind of off and on in terms of how closely I've followed things like the EPL and the Champions League. I've been an Arsenal fan, and their demise has lessened my passion for the sport. But I've been back recently playing some DFS and happy to be on the pod with you.
So you're an Arsenal fan. So obviously Emery's out. You guys got the big win today, down 1-0 at half against West Ham. Not sure if you got a chance to watch it. Obviously, you're a busy guy. You're running everything over at ElitePhantasy.com. Did you get a chance to watch, and what did you think of the performance today?
I did not, unfortunately. My fandom fell off kind of with the last year or two of Arsene Wenger, and then Emery was just such a disaster. And it's been hard to be an Arsenal fan, but hopefully better times ahead.
Certainly a ton of talent there. And, you know, it's probably a good place to start. I wanted to just bring you in, obviously, for 40 weeks in a row. We've had me just talking into a microphone, and appreciate all you guys being loyal listeners and subscribers. But I wanted to bring someone else in. And DC is downplaying his ability here. He's sharp with DFS in general, and I think a lot of practices translate from sport to sport. But as far as your background in soccer in general, did you play soccer growing up? How'd you get into soccer? And like you said, you're an Arsenal fan. How'd you fall into that?
Yeah, always been a big soccer guy. I played in high school and then in college just at a small D3 school. I know my credentials don't live up to yours, but I've been proud of my soccer career for what it's been. Don't play anymore. Once I got into my 30s, kind of hung up the cleats. But yeah, enjoyed always playing soccer, of course. And I've always been into analytics, of course. That's translated into kind of this career in DFS. When I got into you know, European soccer, English soccer, Arsenal seemed like kind of not on the forefront of analytics, but a more like kind of like not a frugal team, but one, you know, I wasn't into the Chelseas and the Man Cities with the oil money and they could just buy whoever they wanted. Mm-hmm. I wanted a team that, you know, kind of had to invest and spend their money wisely, because I was always into baseball and salary cap management and all that stuff.
So that's super interesting. I am a Man United fan, if you don't know. And I went there, trained with some of their coaches. I've just been a fan forever toward Old Trafford. God, that carpet. It's not a pitch. It's carpet there.
Yeah.
Just totally wowed by the whole situation. But I have to say, over the years, been jealous of the football played by Arsenal and some of the players that they have. Obviously, a huge emphasis on youth and bringing through players at a young mm-hmm. age. Started by Wenger and continued through. Man United obviously has a long history of bringing through youth players as well. But they're efficient with their money. Maybe a little tight with the purse strings. And, of course, are owned by an American consortium, basically, the Kroenkes there. Yeah. But exciting things ahead. I mean, they got Pepe now, Aubameyang, Lacazette. That trident in the attack, I think, has an exciting future. And certainly today, Martinelli gets his first start. The young Brazilian scores a goal. Big things ahead for Arsenal Football Club.
I sure hope so. They need it.
Not this year. Maybe next year. All right. But you mentioned the analytics side of things. I'd like to delve into that a little bit and kind of just your process in general. I mean, we'll talk about the Tuesday Champions League slate here, guys. But when we have an expert like DC on, as we'll start having some more guests here moving forward, do want to kind of dig into their brain and get kind of a feel for their process. So let's say you find yourself having some time on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, or maybe even a Saturday morning. You decide to play a slate. What's the first thing you do? What's part of your process for building up to a slate?
So it partly depends on where my knowledge level is at on the teams on the slate. So these days, actually, I don't think last year I played much DFS soccer, but getting back into it this year. So I am slowly gaining in that respect in terms of, like, you know, if I've been watching all of these teams play, I kind of know who's in form, what I expect from each player. But when I haven't, you know, I think most people probably can't watch, you know, every soccer game. There's just so many of them. Mm-hmm. So, like most DFS sports, if you head to the Vegas lines, right, if you head to what Vegas, the sharp people in Vegas that are making these lines expect to happen, I think that's a good starting point. You can look at, obviously, who's favored, the over-under in terms of goals, get a projected, you know, implied team total for each team. And obviously, you know, they've changed the scoring format on DraftKings somewhat over the couple of years where you can roster players who don't score goals, but it's still primarily a goal-driven sport and DFS sport. So you need to find teams that you think are going to score a lot of goals. And if you haven't been able to watch every game, the best way to do that, for me at least, has been to kind of look at those lines and get implied team totals for each team.
I think that's probably the sharpest place to start. And I think maybe some of the casuals will be surprised that that's where you and I both go to start and where a lot of the sharp people go. You know, Jordan Cooper and I had an interesting interaction on Twitter. And if you don't know who that is, that's Blenderhead. See him in the lobby all the time for soccer. Pretty sharp player over there. Mm-hmm. He said, for the sharps, the biggest edge is always in GPP. And Pete, or DC, you mentioned it is typically a goal-scoring sport. And specifically for GPPs, you have to grab that correlation, the goals, the assist. Certainly from a floor perspective on the cash games, you know, we try to avoid those strictly goal-dependent players like an Edison Cavani, who literally might score a goal and get 14 points, which is almost impossible to do. But if you're trying to take down a monster as we get on the soccer side, GPP, we have to find those implying team totals. And, you know, I think a lot of people probably just pull up DraftKings and look at the pricing. That's literally the last thing I do. So, for example, for Champions League for tomorrow, as I'm organizing my article today, the first thing I did, because it's a tournament scenario, we're in group play, is go look at the standings. See who has what on the line for tomorrow's games. It's games in a six-game group stage. Who's eliminated? Who's playing for qualification? Who's locked up first place? We take a team like Barcelona. They've locked in first place in their group. Why would they make Messi travel for a game like this? Suarez.
Yeah, he's already been ruled out, right?
Yeah, he's been ruled out. So you got to know some certain things like that. Certainly then Vegas. I make my own lines, handicap the games, try to figure out where the value is there. And then the last thing I do is go look at the salaries on DraftKings. So I try to find those spots I want to attack first and then head to DraftKings. So I don't know if people do that. I mean, that's just my process. It seems logical, but maybe not. I mean, it sounds like I've been learning from you guys for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. Before I was a paid member of the Elite Mafia here, I was certainly a subscriber and a fan. So it's been fun to help on this side of the microphone. But let's jump into the slate here a little bit, DC. How do you want to do it? You want to talk about a few games? When in your research, where were you looking to attack for Tuesday's slate?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, right? The final match day of Champions League for these teams. So there are certain teams that are resting players. We already mentioned Lionel Messi ruled out. That should open up maybe some value on Barcelona. I think, you know, just a process thing. Like you talk correlation plays. I think that's kind of critical, especially for large field tournaments, to get several players on the same team, hoping that they assist each other on goals and you rack up points in a hurry. And then, you know, for cash games, you kind of want like the talisman for each team, right? The guy taking the free kicks, the corner kicks, getting the crosses in. Maybe they're, you know, putting in tackles and interceptions. So, yeah, all that stuff definitely comes into correlation or comes into play when you're kind of making these teams. Just looking at the kind of the initial lines and the scenarios going into these games, Borussia Dortmund looks pretty good to me. You also want, when you're making tournament teams especially, like a concentrated attack, right? You want to know if they do hit their kind of high implied team total like Borussia Dortmund has, you want to be kind of certain that you're going to get the goals and the assists on your roster from that team. So I think that looks like a decent team to attack where you have a pretty good idea where the production might come from.
Yeah, I mean, obviously playing Slavia Praha there in Germany, obviously the famous yellow wall, huge home field advantage for them. And in decent form, just hammered, I think it was Dusseldorf or someone this weekend, 5-0 in the Bundesliga. And a player that I typically don't roster, but I'm probably going to be targeting heavily in GPPs tomorrow, Jadon Sancho.
Yeah,
typically don't like him too often because his end product, and when we say that, he can beat one or two players and get to the end line, but then he cannot find anyone with a cross or a pass or a shot, just happens to be a little bit off target. Brilliant player, but that's starting to come together for him. He's actually got 4 goals, and I think in his last 5 games or so for Dortmund.
Yep.
So it's even some of those, you know, you mentioned, you know, probably the typical goal scorers, Marco Reus, obviously on penalty duty, but they're not priced up. Comparatively speaking on this slate, when you look at like a Messi who's not going to play at 10-4, I can get Royce for 3K less.
Right.
I mean, typically, you know, Hazard, maybe if he's playing, he's jumping on set pieces. Hakimi's been a beast. Who are you looking for specifically from BVB, maybe from a correlation standpoint in a GPP?
Yeah, I like that. I like that front three, Sancho, Royce, and Hazard, I think could combine to, you know, produce multiple goals from those front three. Schultz, you know, out on the left wing back, I think could provide some crosses there, although not a team that typically puts in a ton of crosses. So I think the front three there, I think, make a good foundation for a stack. Interested to hear your opinion on that. I like try to include oftentimes the goalie on my team that I'm stacking, hoping for, you know, a 3-4-5-0 win, and then the goalie gets that clean sheet and the win points, of course, too. I had success a couple weeks ago taking down the GPP with that kind of full-on onslaught stack. So it doesn't always work, and it's, you know, if your team doesn't perform up to expectation, you can find yourself near the bottom of the standings. But, of course, in tournaments where, you know, the primary goal is not to min cash, it's to get all the way to the top.
And preach, DC, you kind of glossed over it there, but took down a monster tournament, won several $1,000s. Proud of my boy DC over there. Congratulations on that. But – you know, it's interesting. On Lunch Money the other day, talking with Tommy and the Alcoholic, we have a super sharp soccer community over at Elite Fantasy. And the guys in the chat room are, they're asking me questions, but they're talking amongst each other, helping each other out. And it's funny because I try to pride myself on getting goalie right more often than we get it wrong. It's a bit of a crapshoot.
It is.
you know, but in different types of tournaments, I'm going for different things. So for cash, typically I'm paying down. So yeah. I'm trying to find someone with high save upside who, if he concedes maybe one or two goals, isn't going to get me negative points. Whereas look at this slate in particular, if you go all the way down to the bottom and Lille's goalkeeper, you know, Mike Maignan or however you say it, he's Swiss cheese, man. So they literally might get lit up for 2 or 3 goals by Chelsea. And he might have one save. So we're literally looking at negative points. That's paying down in the wrong way. Whereas if you just go up a couple $100, you know, Kolar for Slavia Praha, we're talking about this Dortmund team. Yes, he gave up 2 goals against Inter only, or 3 goals, only had 2 saves. He was in the negative last time. But you look at Barcelona game, it's 6 saves, $3,800. That's a spot where if the save upside is worth it, maybe from a cash perspective, I'm looking at that. But from an upside, Slavia Praha are what, plus 900 to win the game? Haven't been scoring a ton of goals. So is that an upside opportunity? What am I doing with the rest of my money? So I try to go to that 4,500 and up range to find the win and the clean sheet, and pairing your, you know, a forward with a high price goalkeeper or someone who's going to do that typically makes a lot of sense. A lot of correlation there. For example, if you do want to go with Cavani, if he's cheap enough, and then, you know, you grab Aurier and goal, those two will correlate. If Cavani has a good game, they're probably going to win and we can get that clean sheet win odds.
Yeah, my goalie is oftentimes one of the last places I'll fill out my roster. If I can't fit it in kind of with the stack that I'm going in, which is my preferred method, oftentimes I'll choose a goalie. And I admit, I don't know for me, do you have like custom rankings of how good these goalies are? I've been into that before, you know, a couple years ago when I was super into DFS soccer, but recently I'm just not there yet. So I don't know exactly, you know, how actually skilled at stopping shots they are, which, you know, again, that'd be very useful to have. But at the moment, you know, if I find myself on my main tournament team, fading a high team total, and I know a lot of my opponents are going to make lineups rostering players from the team that a goalie is facing, I oftentimes will take that goalie, right? Because if he does hit his upside, right, if he makes 6 or 7 saves and doesn't allow a goal or maybe even gets the clean sheet, that also is going to bring down the opponent's roster, right? Because those guys are, yeah, sure, they're getting shots on goal, but if you're paying up for Barcelona guys or Bayern guys, and they aren't ultimately able to score, you know, more than a goal or two even, those lineups are probably going to bust, right? So you kind of get the double correlation play where your goalie does well, he takes down a bunch of lineups, and all of a sudden you can find yourself hopefully at the top of the tournament.
Is that something that you thought about, you know, from day one, or something that you looked at when looking at your past results, looking at tournament winners, you know, experience in other sports? What brought that second level of thinking into your roster construction? Yeah, it's super important.
I think it's always kind of been a strength of mine of like trying to some degree, like tell a story with your lineup, right? If the games go in a certain way, how can I make a lineup that would profit from that? And again, you know, when you're talking about a tournament with 3,000 or 4,000 lineups, you don't need to be right very often to have that be a profitable strategy. So yeah, you know, the most likely thing is that maybe that goalie gives up 3 or 4 or 5 goals, and your opponents have the players against him, and that specific lineup that you made is not going to do well. But you know, when the outlier results happen, those are the lineups that you want to have out there that can take advantage of that.
You know, I'll give you a perfect example. This past Saturday, obviously we had the huge Manchester Derby. It was the afternoon hammer on that little 4-game slate on Saturday morning there. In the chat, one of our subscribers, you know, hit me up, Duke, is it crazy to fade Man City? And I said, yes, it is kind of crazy to fade Man City. But the play here is take the known quantity. We obviously knew the rosters for Tottenham, for Liverpool. So maybe stack up Tottenham, grab a piece or two of Liverpool, and then just totally fade that last game. And that's where maybe we can grab an Alisson, grab that clean sheet and win, and the paying up for a goalkeeper makes sense. Had a lot of success with our subs over there this past weekend. So it's not just, you know, Tottenham and Burnley are a good play, but we knew a lot of ownership would fall to that last game, which could bust, right? There's a chance Manchester United were going to play well against a good team. They played better against the top half than the bottom half. That's how it's going to happen. If this team goes off and that team fails, we're going to do well in the tournament. So going back to that second level thinking, a lot of good stuff from DC, man. I'm glad to have you on. Let's talk about a couple other games here. Talked about Borussia Dortmund, huge favorite there. I think they're, what, minus 335 with a 3 total, minus 135 on the over, obviously in high implying team total for them. Who else is sticking out to you? I see Chelsea there at minus 500. Somewhere you're going to go with some roster construction?
Yeah, I think Chelsea is probably the second team that I'm looking at. The Barcelona line is interesting to see. Plus 425 to win versus Inter, obviously because of the scenario, right? Barcelona going to rest Messi. And I assume, based on that line, that they're going to rest other players as well.
You'd almost have to assume that one of Griezmann or Suarez is going to play. I mean, if you look at who they have available, Messi's out, Dembele's out. You know, Fati, I think, is injured right now. I think he's a little banged up, so maybe he doesn't even play. There's a youngster that can't go. They could move Elena into the starting lineup, but there's a lot of question marks at that front three. That's obviously so key to their attack. So it could be a total. They may just send a second team. I mean, they're
third. Yeah, I mean, the game literally means nothing to them, right? They've secured the group, so it'll be you'll see some, I think, some names maybe we were not super familiar with from Barcelona out there tomorrow.
That Chelsea game, though, that we're going to talk about here. I mean, to set the scene here, Ajax is in first right now with 10 points facing Valencia, who's tied for second with Chelsea. Behind on, I think it's goal differential, perhaps head-to-head, tied on points with Valencia. But Lille down there, bottom of the table, a single point from 5 games thus far. So hence the line.
Yeah, so I think Chelsea is the next best team to target. You're the EPL guy, and I'm sure you're very closely following Chelsea. So tell me where to go here on this Chelsea game.
Yeah, and so, you know, you mentioned it earlier. Do I rank my goalkeepers? Do I have a I'm one of those idiots that literally watches every single game. So I've seen these guys
I hear you, man.
at least a handful or you know, a time or two. And if I can't catch a whole game, I'll go grab the highlights, you know, from all these other games that I'm not grabbing live. So I tend to have an idea. Now, we have situations pop up all the time, suspensions or injuries. And I'm sitting there Googling a guy like everybody else who happens to make the team. And I'm going, all right, now what do we do? But for Chelsea, I think for me, I'm huge on in-form forwards. I was not expecting Tammy Abraham to be back so soon. He's by no means cheap at 8,900 on DraftKings, but multiple goal upside here in a must-win game for Chelsea. Obviously, from a floor perspective, Willian is expensive, 9,300, probably too expensive, quite honestly, with the other options on the slate. But he'll be on the set pieces. He'll have a decent floor there. If Hudson-Odoi starts, I'd prefer him over Willian for both upside and just pricing-wise. Totally staying away from Mason Mount. I don't know how much you've seen him this year. Came out like a ball of fire and has really dropped off production-wise. Lost his set piece equity. Kind of fallen off the map there a little bit.
Yeah, the main thing I know about Mason Mount is that his FIFA card is only a 75 rated. So how
it's,
like,
it's so crazy how often I reference that, DC. You don't
even know. I even like where do you go to get your statistics? I know you like if you watch enough games, they can become not quite as important. But for a guy like me, who can't see all these soccer games, whoscored.com, is that what you use to get
them? Scored is huge. Yep. SofaScore is huge just from a team stat perspective. There's enough free information out there that you can find almost anything you want. You know, you don't have to have an Opta subscription to get detailed statistics. It does take a little work. You're clicking through a few. And, you know, quite honestly, the game logs, as much as you don't want to be a game log watcher necessarily, form is huge. In soccer, confidence, you know, from in a player from week to week can change how they play, let alone month to month. So that's why I mentioned the Mason Mount. I mean, he was undroppable. Absolutely couldn't build a roster without him for the first month of the season. I don't think I've rostered Mason Mount since September, you know.
October. Yeah, looking at the Who Scored kind of preview, looks like he's not even scheduled to start based on their opinion. They're not that great on getting these right, to be honest, I found, but for what it's worth. But yeah, speaking of form, Christian Pulisic, man, he could be
Jesus, our American hero.
Yes, finally, one that's actually panning out, unlike some of the others. But yeah, he's been awesome. Yeah, getting on the pitch finally and performing well. That front three, Pulisic, Tammy Abraham, and Willian, looks pretty strong for Chelsea to me. I don't see, you know, the rest of their guys that are going to start aren't huge attacking threats, don't score that many goals or assists. Conte, as good as he is, he's not that involved in the attack. So the majority of the production you would think would come from those front three.
You know, what's super interesting about Chelsea specifically is, you know, their designated penalty taker is Jorginho, who doesn't have a ton of open play value, but can occasionally pick up an odd assist. And if someone gets taken down in the box, he's the man converting that. He's real. I think he's, if not the best, top two or three in the world as far as technique and finishing off penalty kicks, which sounds easy. When you step up to a penalty spot, it looks easy. But as we've seen too many times, it's not. So Kovacic actually has been scoring goals. His last two games, he's had goals there. Okay. Not typically someone I would ever associate. I would consider that an outlier versus a trend. So at 5K, maybe a small stab in GPP. I'd rather even save a couple bucks and go down to Jorginho with that guaranteed, you know, penalty opportunity there. But Pulisic specifically is an interesting one, DC, because I've loved, obviously, what I've seen. He's played a lot of minutes, and he looked extremely tired
this
weekend in his match, to the point where I was calling for him to be taken out in the 60th minute. I think he ended up playing the full 90, but even more of a reason that he might actually get sat down in this game.
Was that match on Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday,
probably.
These are all running together, man.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get like,
I mean, that is something I pay attention to. It's just like the amount of minutes. Like sometimes if they played 90 minutes on a Saturday or Sunday, then they got to go turn around on Tuesday and play. And then maybe they have, you know, you can look ahead and see what fixture they have for the weekend. And it's like, okay, even if they play here, could be 60, 70 minutes, which obviously is not ideal.
that was the early game. Chelsea actually screwed me. We had Chelsea in a pick 'em there at even money.
Okay.
Lost 3-1 to Everton in that 7:30 Saturday morning game. But on SofaScore, they do player ratings for the game. You know, Kovacic 7.9, grabbed his goal. Abraham 6.1, not great. the only red number on the squad, Christian Pulisic, 5.8. So he's, I think, you know, it's good that Lampard gave him a run in the squad, but I think he's losing it a little bit in his legs. And so much of his game is that explosiveness, that that stop start. So might be an opportunity where maybe Hudson-Odoi, who came off the bench this weekend, takes his place.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. I think Chelsea's going to be a team to target kind of regardless of who they run out there. And sometimes, you know, if you can get some backups, lower price guys, you can get some value there too as well.
Who are we fading? What team are we fading? Let's talk about that's an interesting thing that doesn't get talked about often on these podcasts. Is there a team that's sticking out to you as someone who may garner some ownership, but you're just probably not going to roster altogether?
I haven't gotten that far. I have to be honest with you.
That's all right.
I mean, at this point, like Barcelona could, you would think, could have some value emerge. But man, unless, you know, if they leave one of their guys, one of their main guys in there to kind of play with the backups, that could be an interesting play. But other than that, I typically, in all sports, I don't like rostering players that have, you know, where the team has absolutely no motivation to win. So they're big underdogs, not that they're going to get ownership anyway, but I'd be wary of even the value from Barcelona.
How about a team like Ajax? Obviously, we loved them last year. Unbelievable run. You know, nearly should have been to the finals if they didn't completely collapse. But sitting in first place, they do have Valencia in that game. But at home, I believe. Ziyech, expensive, but pretty damn productive from a DFS perspective.
Yeah, I think I stacked them their last game. It worked out okay. Didn't quite get there with them.
What do you think of Dusan Tadic? Because he's one, a bit like Mason Mount. When he was in form, I was rostering him all the time. You know, he's maybe 1 to 2K less than Ziyech, but he's playing further up the field. You'd think he'd have more goal upside. He's shit.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed when I watched him last game. I did watch that entire game in their last Champions League game. They are missing David Neres and Quincy Promise, so he'll probably be in there along with Ziyech, Beek, and who scored as Huntelaar starting in this game, which
God, kill me.
He's a little bit past it at this point, isn't he?
You know, he can do a job, but I don't know if it's a job they're looking for.
He's one of those. He's gonna need a goal or two to reach value.
Good Lord. All right, let's wrap up here with maybe one or two guys that we haven't talked about. We haven't talked about Inter much. Obviously, they're home favorites. Everything to play for there against Barcelona. Didn't mention the Benfica and Zenit game, probably for good reason. And what are we doing with Memphis Depay over at Lyon?
Depay seems kind of approaching like a borderline must-play status where he's kind of the whole team for for Lyon, and I like that. I've been on him. It's expected to be close. He's one of those guys that is very expensive, and his team, you know, it's basically a pick 'em between Lyon and Leipzig. So he'll probably fly under the radar. But I like going after those guys who can kind of do everything. He'll probably be on most sets, I believe, depending on what kind of lineup Leon runs out there, although he's performing so well that he's kind of taken over all of them. So, yeah, I think he's, you know, in lieu of Leo Messi not being on the slate now, I think he might be the top spend.
You think, I mean, it's $300 more than Ziyech. You know, Ziyech can obviously only play the midfield spot. There's a lot of good forward options I'm looking at, but I almost instantly was like, nope, 10-2. Not going to do it just because I didn't think there was enough value on the slate. But let's see what Barcelona rolls out there. If we can find someone cheap, you know, certainly, you know, from some of the Slavia Praha or some other options like that. Maybe we roster a Stanciu for 5,500 and opens up some salary somewhere else. You start looking back through Depay's game logs. He scored in four straight. He's got 4 points everywhere. He's getting fouled as much as Jack Grealish is for Aston Villa. He just finds a way. You know, his shot numbers are down. And I've, you know, that's got me off him a couple times. He only had, what, two shots in his last three games. Mm-hmm. Not what we want to see out of a 10-2 guy, but he gets home every single time.
Yeah, he's been amazing this season so far.
What do you think about Lautaro Martinez? He's finally priced up. We've been absolutely crushing it over on elitefantasy.com with this guy. I like to say I invented Martinez because we were on him from week one on. He's been nothing but a goal scoring machine. 9,100, pretty expensive. We getting there?
I like that. Yeah, he looks awesome to me. Another guy that I think he's kind of got it all. Just been really impressed watching him play. And he gets to maybe kind of run through that Barcelona team. Depending on the kind of squad that Barcelona runs out there, Martinez could go to town. I could see Inter kind of it's a chance for them to put a few goals on Barcelona, right? In all likelihood, depending on Barcelona's lineup.
And they got everything riding on this game. And we think about Barcelona and why we typically don't roster a ton of players against Barcelona, because they usually have the damn ball
for 75% of the game.
So if they do trot out, you know, a glorified second team here with maybe one or two regulars, do they have maybe 60% possession, 55% possession? Is Inter taking it to them with a little bit more possession, maybe further up the field in a must-win game? So for me, that's kind of the sneaky place to stack. Barcelona have been conceding goals anyway. They're not the Barcelona we're used to. They're sitting top of the table right now in La Liga, but with an absolute battle going on with Madrid, tied on points, I believe. So this would be a perfect opportunity for them to send a total second squad, rest the first team, put out some young guys, and have Inter get their result, maybe grab two or three goals. And Kondreva, I think, is going to miss, so perhaps we open up some value with a Brozovic or a Vecino or someone like that, or, you know, even a Politano. If I know he's just coming back from injury, but maybe some correlation there from wide players putting it into the big man Lukaku or even Martinez there. So perhaps some cheap, and obviously we talked about Borussia Dortmund's pretty damn cheap. So I think in GPP, DC, we can get a little creative here.
Yeah, another interesting thing about Inter, you know, in the big tournament, the $10 or whatever the price point is this week, I think, you know, your more casual soccer fan isn't going to want to take players against Barcelona, right? If you don't look up that line, you would never guess that Inter would be right now listed at a minus 175. I could see that number actually climbing as we get closer to the start of the game, obviously depending on the squad Barcelona rolls out there. So, yeah, Inter, I think, probably poised for a pretty big day and maybe a little bit sneaky as well.
How about, do you have a guaranteed goal for us? Who's going to score a goal tomorrow?
Ooh, I'll go with my guy, Marco Reus.
Wow, I like that. A goal, what is he, 8,300, 8,000, something like that, maybe even less?
It's like 7,400.
7,400, a guaranteed goal at 7,400. You can hop over on Twitter, at DraftCheat. Make sure you look at the at, because at any moment, at any point of day, whatever's on the left of the at, it's going to be a different avatar and a different name, and he'll be fooling everybody on Twitter. But make sure you hit up at DraftCheat tomorrow once Marco Reus scores a goal. What else you got, man? That's pretty much all I had here today. I think Jorginho grabs a goal tomorrow at, what, 5K? A penalty, Chelsea rolls. A lot of good stuff in my article. It's obviously out over there on elitefantasy.com, and I'll be in the chat room tomorrow, an hour before kickoff, talking through that super important team news over there as well. Anything else you got for me, DC?
I think that's it. Thanks for having me, and we'll have to do it again sometime soon.
Hey, what are we doing with the U.S. men's national team?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me.
I think we just fold it. Just fold it. Start over.
If that was an option, I would sign up for that.
All right. DC, really appreciate you hopping on. Like I said, guys, go ahead over there on Twitter. If you're following me, you're obviously following DC. But if you're not yet, at DraftCheat on Twitter. He does NFL, NBA, everything over there in Elite Fantasy. One of the best in the industry. Awesome to have him on. That's going to do it for this week's Talking Soccer. Adios.